Hello and welcome. This is the Relatively Football Podcast. My name is Theo Lloyd Hughes and I'm here with my sister, Flo. How's it going, Flo?
I'm muted. Hey, Theo. How's it going?
I had my heart sunk and I was like, oh no, this is the first time we're going to open the show with a bit of a blooper.
Some technical difficulties.
How are you doing now you've got your voice back?
Yeah, fine. Bit tired. You know, life is continuing as the world around us crumbles.
Another tough week on the back of a lot of tough weeks on the back of many a crisis. So thank you so much for being here. It's great to see you. Great to have the fam back together, even virtually at these times of struggle. I feel like every week I don't know if you feel this, I worry that we might not have enough to talk about. And then every week it feels like there's too many things to talk about. I don't really know where to start. There's so much to talk about, but I think the biggest thing for me one of the things that sticks out in women's football is the England versus England training match broadcasted to the world, which was really fun. Thank you, FA. And England played England, yet Phil Neville still managed to lose. Can you explain that to me?
I think you need to explain it to me because I still don't really understand.
So they broke the team into two, right? You had Steph Horton's team and Ellen White's team. But from what I gathered, Phil Neville was taking the quote-unquote away team. So they played in red and they managed to lose 3-0 in the first game. So it was sort of this bizarre situation where Phil, even though he couldn't lose, managed to lose. And then in the flipped game, they actually flipped the kits, which was even more confusing. So the home team became the away team. Same teams, Team Ellen White, Team Steph Houghton. And Phil lost again. So it was sort of a bit embarrassing.
It's in his DNA. He's a loser. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into Phil Neville, but that made me smile. It was a lot of fun, though. I think I've never really watched anything like that. I hope maybe it's the beginning of a lot of countries. I know a lot of people I follow who are US fans were really jealous and they were like, oh, I'd love to see this for the US. So I think it was a cool thing for the FA to do.
Yeah, obviously England are in a unique position because they don't need to qualify for the next Euros because they're hosting it. Fun. So they've been setting up friendlies. They've got one against Germany next month. But obviously, because of the situation, you can't really do that at the moment. Although we'll go on to a bit about some of the qualifying games that were taking place. But it seems like you shouldn't really be playing other teams unless you have to with the schedule. So they decided to do this, and I think it was really fun. I agree. I think it was a great idea. And I think what I liked is how seriously the players took it. It was quite aggy at times.
Very aggy. I mean, Millie Bright and Rachel Daly stole the show in regards to being picked up on the mic every kind of 2 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's wicked. I think that's what you want to see from your players. A bit of fight, a bit of passion. And for those players that were new to the camp, new to the squad, it was a really good opportunity for them to try and impress. And I think it was a really good idea. And if things continue like they are with the situation with the pandemic, we may be seeing more of that if England can't schedule that many friendlies, although they've managed to schedule this one against Germany. So fingers crossed that goes well. Obviously, Katie Zellum, we mentioned in the last episode, left
the
camp because of COVID. So it'll be interesting with the situation in England, which for those of you abroad listening to us, is not great. No, it's not great America either, to be honest, but most of Europe is coping pretty well, especially Germany and Italy. So I think it is going to be quite difficult for England to attract people to come over and play here in terms of international friendlies because things are being handled so badly. And also the FA are going to have to pay for tests. And we've seen in the men's side of the game, the EFL is scaling back on their testing because it's just so expensive. And the FA have already spent really nearly over £1 million on testing.
Do you think the players will have learned more from playing each other than maybe playing, you know, we saw some of the friendlies like France versus Macedonia, maybe you maybe don't learn as much from your team when you're kind of just blowing out these smaller sides. Do you think England versus England would have been more influential than say England versus a smaller side?
Yeah, I think so, because there is so much quality and there is quite high competition because there's 11 places in the first team and there is such a lot of quality. So I think people were fighting for their places. And I think there's some complacency we see from England women and the men's team too, when they do play smaller sides, is there is an arrogance there. And when it's a friendly, you don't really put as much into it. So I think if, unless it's a competitive qualifier, I think it is a good idea to do these games instead.
Who impressed you most for England or England, whichever one you like?
I think it was good to see Rachel Daly back in the England setup, playing up front where she belongs. And yeah, I'm going to go Daly, but maybe you'll want to say Daly. So sorry if I took your Daly.
No, I thought Daly was all right. I think again, Phil Neville in his eternal quote unquote genius, played a 3-4-3 or sort of a 3-5-2. So no, it was a 3-5-2. So it was sort of hard, I think, for the players to be thrown into the situation and play a new formation. But I think Neve Charles, who was playing right wing back, which I don't know if she plays there really, I thought was really impressive. Chloe Kelly really continues to impress. I think the feel-good story was Fran Kirby just came back. And, you know, to be honest, all season for Chelsea as well.
And she got man of the match in that first game, didn't she, Fran?
She did. She had a couple of amazing assists, one to Ellen White and then one to, I want to say, Ella Toon. And yeah, she just looked like absolutely in her element. So I think it was a kind of funny mix of brand new players like Russo and Charles looked really good. And then kind of old stalwarts like Ellen White and Fran Kirby looked really good. And so it was kind of maybe the people in the middle didn't really shine. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. While the internationals stuck out to you, briefly mentioning France, who kind of smacked Macedonia, they had the Cascarino twins starting. So I wanted to give some love to the siblings out there. Both Cascarino starting for France. Cascarino...
We'll get them on.
We'll get them on at one point. Cascarino, they both play for Lyon. Delphine Cascarino is one of my favorite players in the world right now. And she started out on the right of a front three. And yeah, was absolutely fantastic. But her sister got a start at centre back. So that's good to see.
And that was actually in a qualifier. It's just obviously the scoreline doesn't make it seem like it's a qualifier. But that was a 2022 Euros qualifier. And that's what most of Europe were up to while the Lionesses were having a bit of fun at St. George's Park.
Wales were on the telly?
Wales were on the telly, and I think it was a really good game. And I think Wales could have got a point. They will be disappointed.
Probably the goal of the weekend, to be fair.
Fantastic goal. And Norway had a lot of chances. So it could have been worse in a sense, but Wales were organised, they were compact, they worked hard, they created a few chances of their own. And I think they'll take a lot of positives from that. And despite not getting the win against a team that, you know, got to the quarterfinals of the World Cup and have a lot of good players of which a big chunk play for Chelsea, I think it was a fantastic performance to be able to really build on and then really try and qualify for the Euros, because they came very close to getting into the World Cup, and it would be so good if they could get into the Euros. Jane Ludlow, such a good coach as well. My pick to take Team GB at the Olympics next year. So
that's exciting. That'd be cool. I'd like to see that. I feel like with every week that goes by, not to bring it back to Phil Neville, we get less certain that Phil will be the one to take them to the Olympics. Julia Gwynn tore her ACL playing for Germany over the weekend. Probably some of the more tragic news in a long line of ACL injuries, kind of reaping havoc on the women's game. It's really sad to see such a young player go down, especially with an Olympics on the horizon. Hopefully she can rehab and come back stronger for the 2021-2022 season. But it was really sad to see, yeah, definitely one of the brightest sparks of the World Cup last year as well, not make it out of the international qualifications, you know, with her knee. So lots of love to Julia Gwynn. And it was a great weekend of internationals. We're going to take a quick break and then I'll come back with a NWSL roundup. Okay, the National Women's Super League of United States of America. It's back and up and running. It's had a few weeks now. It was a really, really great weekend. Did you catch any of it? Or the highlights? Or
I'm sorry to say, I did not catch any of it. So as our designated NWSL correspondent, you're going to need to fill me in.
Well, it was a bit of a classic. I know you definitely saw some of that opening game. That was the game on the Saturday, the Courage versus the Pride, the 0-0. Ashlyn Harris.
I did actually watch some of that. The Ashlyn Harris spectacular comedy special.
How would you describe Ashlyn Harris? I feel like, so Orlando Pride hadn't played a game in 11 months. It'd been nearly a year. And we have been bereft of any Ashlyn Harris action. And then I kind of had not completely forgotten about her, but it'd been a while. And then seeing the Pride play the Courage, it was a 0-0. And it would just kind of contained everything you love, maybe loathe, maybe admire, maybe are scared of in the kind of goalkeeping efforts of Ashlyn Harris. She's quite poetic. She's quite over the top. I know you saw a tweet from Andre that you quite liked, Flo. I don't really know how you would describe that.
That would be my meme of the week. Meme of the week, which was one of those classic memes where you say nobody Ashlyn Harris or whoever it may be, and then insert funny clip. And this one was nobody Ashlyn Harris and then whatever it was, some like screamo rock band. It was just like, it was so funny. I was laughing about for about 10 minutes.
It was a great meme, absolute meme of the week. Definitely go follow Andre. We'll send a tweet out where you can follow them.
Heavy metal goalkeeping. They talk heavy about metal heavy metal football with, you know, Klopp and Slaven Bilic. But Ashlyn Harris is a heavy metal goalkeeper, that's for sure.
I mean, yeah, I love Andre's meme. I would go one step further and say it's like performance art. I think it's like improv. I think it's like, what do you call that theater? You know, poopy bum bum train. It's like immersive.
You me bum bum train.
If anyone in the London theatre scene, it is kind of like that immersive theatre. I feel like Ashlyn Harris is kind of just gets taken over by some sort of spirit and does a little bit of everything. She was the absolute star of the show, making mistakes, making, you know, amazing saves, just being coming running up. She had three times she ran like way out of her box. But it was also fantastic to see Marta and Sydney LaRue back, who just looks incredible. Again, this team hasn't played in 11 months, but Marta and Sydney LaRue were just absolutely incredible on the ball, almost like a little basketball duo, pick and rolling, incredible foot control. And, you know, Tabina and Lynn Williams will be gutted not to score because Ashlyn Harris kept them out in the Pride goal. But it was a really great game to see skilled players, star players, really, really sizzling in the NWSL.
Yeah, and after the embarrassing season that Orlando Pride had, their first under Mark Skinner, this was a really important point. They've offloaded some of their big names.
13 players left the club.
Yeah, who've gone to Europe. And we talked about those jokes before about who was going to play. But actually, I think what they have done is trimmed it down to a bit more of a functional core squad who maybe seem like they want to be there a bit more, or they now have got a place in the first team. So they're like, right, I want to keep my place. So I think we might see a bit of progression here. And for those people who don't yet follow Marta on social media, make sure you do.
Legend.
Her Instagram is hilarious. The content is so good. So make sure you do that. And the club, and also all the Orlando Pride players, to be honest. Sydney LaRue's one is full of her hilarious videos with her kids.
Catching her child.
Catching her baby. It was incredible. Her child, Rue, I think, is her daughter who she had last year, I think. And Rue fell off this chair and Sydney caught her with one hand by her leg as she was falling, about to like slam her head on some hard tile floors in her Florida home. So, yeah, make sure you follow for content like that.
Great on the pitch. Great in the home. Sydney LaRue.
Yeah.
It's a good point. Orlando did lose a lot of players. Mark Skinner actually just got a new contract yesterday, so he's going to be held on for 2021. But the flip side of that is Orlando experimented more than some of these other sides. We're not quite sure what the NWSL full series means competition-wise, but the Pride gave a lot of new players a lot of game time. And Carey Lawrence, who's a rookie at right back, was the one who cleared the ball off the line. There's an amazing clip of it goes through Ashlyn Harris's legs and Carey Lawrence is there to save it. She also hit the bar, almost converting a Marta cross. So yeah, it was really good to see some rookies getting the love. Chicago beat Sky Blue in what I said was the game of the week, the one that you should go and watch on Twitch if you're international, or CBS in the States. And that was a really, really fun game. Chicago ended up winning 4-1. Kelia Watt got that goal, Flo, after waiting so long. And like a London bus, you know, you wait 14 months for one Kelia Watt goal And what happens? You get two. So yeah, Keely Watt's got two goals. She looks amazing. Her pace and power has been on show like all the way through the Challenge Cup during the summer, and she's really bringing it in these games. It's been a few years since she had a US WMT call up. It was last in 2018. She only has three caps, but watching that game, she got a great assist and she got a good assist last week as well. Really wonderful, low kind of driven cross. And watching that game, I just thought, you know, she had that ACL injury. She kind of flamed out in Houston after a few good years. But yeah, I wonder if she, oh, do you think you could see Keely Watt playing for the US women's national team either at the Olympics or, I don't know. What do you think, Sam? No, you think her time's gone?
No, I would say probably the Challenge Cup is the most bit of consistent stuff I've seen from her. So I've watched of her. So that would probably be a harsh way to just assess her future prospects on the national team. But compared to other US players in that league who would be fighting for the same spot, no, I don't see her being better than other choices in that kind of crop. So for that reason, sorry, Keelia, you're not in my squad.
Watching the game on Saturday and having watched her, actually, I think the game was on Sunday, but having watched at the Challenge Cup, I just have a gut feeling we might see Keelia Watt at least get a call up. I think her pace and power for the United States is just too much to miss. It's so the way they play.
Yeah, I suppose it's just the finishing, but maybe this.
But she, finishing's turning a corner.
Well, I was going to say, maybe back now of she's one got weekend. These two goals, this will change everything. And it was just one of those situations where you need to sort of break the duck. And then once you do, you can't stop scoring.
Yeah, I think she's had a really hard 2.5 years, 3 years since her knee injury. And I just wonder if she can carry this form, whether or not we'll see something in the next 18 months to come. Big shout out to Onumonu as well for Sky Blue, who got their only goal, 2 goals in 2 weeks for Onumonu. And she's a player who, a bit like Watt, just seems to improve with every game at the moment. And I think there's not many players like her. She kind of leads the line. She carries the ball really well. She brings in other players and she's quite patient and she plays up front on her own, but obviously has Midge Purse playing kind of on the wing. And yeah, I think she's improved a lot over the Challenge Cup and the full series. So it's good to see her continue her goal scoring. And the final game in the NWSL was the Thorns beat the Royals 3-0. This game was kind of covered in scandal and incredible work in the press by Meg Linehan again. So we found out 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes into the game that the Royals had suspended their manager, Craig Harrington, because of sexist allegations to do with the club. The club is currently in the process of being sold. It's also linked to the other Utah football soccer clubs in the area. Delroy Hansen, the owner, is under racist and sexist allegations. And these are separate allegations, not to do with the players, that so they say, but to do with the staff in the club that have now turned up with the manager, Craig Harrington. So the team took with no manager, with a caretaker in charge, and it was a bit chaotic. Amy Rodriguez said after the game, when pressed with questions from the media, "I just want to talk about football." And yeah, I think you were seeing, you know, the Royals had a really tough game. They lost 3-0. The Thorns were back home for the first time in a year. And Becky Sauerbrunn made her debut, obviously at an empty Providence Park, but it was still, you know, she got her given a rose after the game, as is the, you know, the tradition there. And it was really beautiful to see. And the Thorns were magnificent. Lindsay Horan was in a slightly deeper role, which I quite liked. So you had Rocky Rodriguez doing all the running in the eight position. And I actually thought Kristen Sinclair looked fresher than she did. I thought she had a tough Challenge Cup. So the Thorns look completely revitalized and the Royals, well, they just look a bit of a mess. And I just, you know, I think it's a good mess. You know, we're getting rid of bad parts of football culture here, you know, to do with race and sexism that is prevalent in, you know, in all parts of society. And so it was a tough afternoon for the Thorns, but I think, you know, hopefully there's good times on the horizon.
Yeah, and I think the Thorns had a disappointing Challenge Cup in all respects, and that's probably down to the fact that Lindsay Horan couldn't play as big a part as they would have hoped. But, and also they hadn't played together. I mean, I agree with you. I think Christina Sinclair looked pretty ropey, and obviously she's not the youngest player anymore, but she looked very leggy the whole of the Challenge Cup. And hopefully now that they've been together and been training together, she's reflecting some of that sort of fitness and edge that she would normally have.
She looked much better on Sunday. It was also cool to see, you know, Chrissy Sinclair, who is a legend, a stalwart of the game, mixed with Sophia Smith, who was the number one overall pick in the 2020 draft. She came on and scored her debut goal within 3 minutes. It was a really stylish kind of flicked header from a Klinenberg cross. And so, yeah, the Thorns seem to have kind of legends coming in and new blood as well. I thought it was very, very exciting for the Thorns. All right. You want to talk about the FA Cup? It's coming back? Last year's FA Cup?
Yes. Yeah, so this is the slightly, I think we touched on it before, but we've got a slightly interesting situation this year with the FA Women's Cup, which is
like a Twix bar or a Kit Kat, you know what I mean? You kind of like, yeah, there's two in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's two for the price of one, really. And not only is there sort of an excitement with the fixtures, excuse the ambulance outside, but there's actually a new title sponsor. So Vitality, who are a UK-based health insurance provider, have been revealed as the new title sponsors for the Women's FA Cup, replacing SSE, who dropped out last year. So that's really exciting. Vitality are a big supporter of women's sport in the UK. They have a long-term deal with England Netball, and they also support a lot of individual football teams, Chelsea, Arsenal, Southampton, I think, Bournemouth. Yeah, so a big supporter of women's sport. So that's a great, great situation for the FA and for the FA Cup, especially. So we will reconvene this weekend with the quarterfinals, which is a little
one
bit
confusing. Massive match at the very least.
Well, yeah, a North London derby. And it's a shame because many people remember last year there was such a good North London derby in Spurs' new stadium, and which is an incredible stadium. So it's a shame that this year it won't be in front of fans. It's not going to be at a nice big stadium. It's going to be at Bournemouth behind closed doors, which is unfortunate. But yes, on Saturday at 5:15 on BBC online and BBC One Fear, we think just probably.
I think it might. It's either BBC Two or just on the red button or iPlayer.
Okay.
But it's definitely,
I mean, it'll definitely be online, whatever the case, and yeah, it's whether or not
5:15 p.m. in the UK, which will be 12:15 on the East Coast. I think this is a great television. Should we see Alex Morgan's Tottenham Hotspur debut? I think you're going to see a lot of FA player, if it's on the FA player, a lot of Americans trying to tune in. I think it should be a bit of a classic. I think Arsenal will win, but I think Spurs, I don't know, sneaky robust. I really like, I know we talked about last week, Alana Kennedy. I think it's very no-nonsense. And I think Arsenal are going to have their hardest test of the season, in my opinion. I think it might be closer than people think, maybe just 2-0, maybe 1-0 for a large portion of the game.
Yeah, so last season in front of that record crowd, 38,000, Arsenal won 2-0 in the end in that WSL game. Kim Little with an absolute screamer. So I think it will be close again. Arsenal have started the season so well, big score lines, but I think Spurs will keep it tight and compact and limit their options. But I do see Arsenal taking this one and progressing to the next round. Some of the other games to look out for, we have Everton versus Chelsea, which I think is a really interesting one.
Another Everton one where I think Everton will keep it close, but Chelsea might just eke it.
Yeah, and you know, Everton have made a really good start to the season, and a lot of people have their eye on Everton taking fourth place. And this is the kind of competition they're going to get two goes at it. But this is the kind of competition they're going to want to really progress in, and a good one that they could win. So I think it's going to be interesting. Obviously, Chelsea have such a deep squad, so even if Emma Hayes doesn't want to play her top maybe 11, even her second 11 is still going to be a really strong team. Whereas Everton are going to have to really bring it to even match some of that. But I think that's going to be a really good game. That's Sunday at 1:00. Then on Sunday, we have Leicester, who are the only non-WSL team left in the competition, facing Man City. We spoke before about Leicester's new ambitions, going fully professional. Leicester had a really dramatic way that they got into this quarterfinal, scoring in the last minute. I think it was a free kick that they scored in the last minute of their fifth round game to get this set up, this tie with Man City. So they'll be up for it. It's obviously been a long time since they played that fifth round, which is a shame, because I reckon if it had been, you know, pretty close, they would have been able to sort of carry some of that momentum. But then obviously since then, a lot's changed for both teams. And they're now facing a Man City with Rose Lavelle, Sam Mewis, Bronze, Greenwood. So it's going to be really, really tricky for Leicester to match that talent.
It's not always easy being the overdog, though. I do think City have really struggled for goals, and I think you're going to see a really nervous, maybe first 20 minutes. And if Leicester can keep that clean sheet at least for 30 minutes, I think you might see Manchester City get really nervous. It's not always easy being the better team, especially when you're not scoring. Obviously, Ellen White got a couple of goals in that training session, but I think it'll be really great to watch that one, especially seeing a non-WSL side. Brighton versus Birmingham, though, might be the tie of the weekend for me after Spurs-Arsenal. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, that's another really competitive fixture. That's an interesting matchup as well. And we talked about Brighton's really good performance against Man City last weekend. And I think that will give them a lot of confidence going into this. And getting even just a semi-final FA Cup for Brighton would be a big achievement and show a lot of progression for this team, who only a few years ago were newcomers to full-time professional women's football. So that's a big achievement.
It's no news that Flo and I are huge Hope Pal stands, and we really believe if they can just beat Birmingham, which they've already done once this season, did it 2 weeks ago, beat them 2-0. You know, if they can beat Birmingham, maybe take the semi-final to penalties, you never know. Hope Pal at Wembley, we'd love to see it.
You love to see it.
Love to see it.
I think you're going to be able to watch Everton Chelsea on the FA Player, judging by the FA Player website.
Always a good website to go off.
Yeah, always a good website to go off. And obviously, we've spoken about Arsenal Spurs being on BBC. So I'm not sure about the other two fixtures, Leicester Man City and Brighton Birmingham. So wait and see what happens. Those two games are on Sunday as well. So I would keep an eye on FA Player and also their social media ones. They might be doing club streams, which may be free, may be paid for. Not 100% sure at the moment, which is the magic of women's football, as most people will know who listen to this podcast. You never know how you can watch it, how you can get access to it, or what the stats are going to be. You might as well just make it up.
Anyone looking to catch any American NWSL football this weekend, all the games are on Saturday. They are 6 p.m. in the UK, so 1 p.m. on the East Coast. And that's going to be on Twitch if you're worldwide, or CBS in America. And then there's a game immediately after that. The first game is Chicago versus the Washington Spirit. I really, really recommend that game. We were just talking about Kelia Watt and Chicago really kind of growing into their football this year. This will be their final game of the season. Really recommend checking that out. And then you got Utah Royals, the Chaotic Royals versus the OL Reign, who I think are playing their first game of the autumn fixtures. OL Reign, for those that don't know, are owned by Lyon in France. That game is going to be 3:30 on the East Coast and 8:30 back home in the UK on CBS and Twitch worldwide. And then one for the late heads, Dash are playing the Pride, the wonderful chaotic Ashlyn Harris, which is going to be 8:30 on the East Coast and about 2:30 a.m. And that game is on Twitch, wherever you are in the world. Obviously, it's been a tough week with the news of Breonna Taylor. And I think it's going to be, there's already been a lot of growth in regards to how the players in the NWSL and all over the world are speaking up in regards to racial violence and inequity in this country and all over the world. And I think it's been a really emotional week, and we might see hopefully some really good noise coming out of the players in the league as they take the field on Saturday. Be safe out there. If you are going to protest, make sure your voice is heard, and make sure you leave in a group, and keep, fighting for change. It's obviously a really tough and quite frankly disgraceful time in American history. But I know this is not, new news. It's a long time of not valuing people. So Black Lives Matter. And I think that's all we got this week, Flo.
Yeah, it's a pretty quick one from us this week, but we're going to have some exciting additional content with one of our first sibling interviews, which we'll be putting out next week. So make sure you tune in for that. We'll be promoting it on social media. And also next week, we'll be bringing you a bit of a roundup after the FA Cup and NWSL this weekend. But yeah, hopefully this little whistle-stop tour to some of the Euros and some of the action we've had over the last week has been enough for you. And thank you again to our soundtrackers, our intro guys. I've not explained that pretty well, but Theo will explain more. The convenience.
Thank you to the convenience, always supplying great music. And we really appreciate everyone reaching out and mentioning fun stuff about the forthcoming Relatively Logistics podcast and all the great stuff with the music. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. And Flo, it's always good to see you, even on a tough week.
Thank you. And yeah, as always, follow us at Relatively Football and Floyd Tweet and Floyd Insta. And Theo, what's yours? Drop it in.
At Theodore_LH, I believe.
Ah, see you next time.